private research universities. You have a comprehensive university in the University of Illinois Chicago, located in one of the world's great cities, with the potential to evolve very rapidly into a second AAU class public urban research university for the state. You have a regional campus in Springfield with a deep commitment to undergraduate education of high quality. You have in Chicago, one of the great cities in the world, a state with a balanced economy and evident prosperity, a central location in an economic region, as I said, with one of the most formidable collections of research universities in the world. And I sense that as a governing board, you are deeply committed to the future of these universities, the future of the state, and I think you've clearly demonstrated your will to act decisively to achieve this future. Thank you very much. I'm willing to answer questions after we've finished our presentation.
Thanks, Jim. Dr. Faulkner comes to us, and I didn't do a fair introduction to him earlier. He was president of the University of Texas, Austin, after he served at as provost at Urbana. And I reminded him periodically, I'm a graduate of Texas A&M, so we do have some friendships. And following that, after he left that post, he served as chairman or president of the Houston Foundation. And I think you're just now leaving that role. Is that moving back to Austin?
Left it in March 1st.
March, yeah. Dr. Faulkner?
Am I on?
Yes.
You are.
Yeah. Okay. Well, thank you, President Easter. Actually, he reminds me every time we talk that he's a graduate of Texas A&M.
We'll continue.
He's not a chemist.
He's not a chemist, that's true. Bob has asked me to talk about governance. That's a ticklish enough subject that I wrote it all out. It's like congressional testimony. I'm not going to say anything I haven't previously digested, so let me go ahead and talk from a text. The far-sighted and able founder of the modern University of California, Clark Kerr, offered the following now famous passage in his 1972 book, The Uses of the University. And he said this: about 85 institutions in the Western world established by 1500 still exist in recognizable forms with similar functions and unbroken histories, including the Catholic Church, the parliaments of the Isle of Man, of Iceland, and of Great Britain, several Swiss cantons, and 70 universities. Kings that rule, feudal lords with vassals, and guilds with monopolies are all gone. These 70 universities, however, are still in the same locations with some of the same buildings, with professors and students doing much the same things, and with governance carried out in much the same ways. Kerr's book and his 1963 lectures at Harvard that formed the foundation for the books were products of an optimistic, expansionary period in American higher education. The passage conveys confidence in both the rightness of the mission and the basic soundness of the way business is done in universities. That confidence was broadly shared then, but not today in America. Half a century later, much of the American public has doubts about whether we are addressing the right mission, or at least whether we have the right balance among the several missions, and whether we're organized properly with accountability in the proper places. American higher education does have fearsome challenges before it. Jim talked about some of those, particularly in the public sector. How do we respond to the collapse of the funding model used in public higher education over the past 50 years? How do we take best advantage of the new educational opportunities afforded by new media? Will the forces attending these issues sweep away the familiar and leave something radically different in their wake? It is without doubt a time for invention, a time when boards of trustees and presidents must do all they can to foster new ways of addressing institutional missions, however they become understood and balanced. In a contemporary light, Clark Kerr's passage is better seen as an expression of confidence that these great institutions will adapt to changing times. Indeed, they have adapted dramatically through the history since 1500, or just through